The Arthropod. The Arthropod is the home for the wonderful, weird, wacky world of insects. Hosted by Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Scavarla.
Welcome back, everybody, to Arthropod, your entomology podcast. We're here with a special edition. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Larson of the University of Kentucky.
I'm one of your other hosts, Jody Green from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
And I am Michael Scavarla with Penn State.
And we wanted to do just a little special update about that bug that you've been hearing about in the news. I don't know if I should say the name because I feel like it's a sensitive subject for my two co-hosts.
We should get it out front.
We're going to be talking about the murder hornet today. And I just saw both of your souls die a little bit. So what is a murder hornet and why do you wish we didn't call it that?
I don't think I've even said the word murder so many times in such a short period of time. And murdering is something that's so anthropomorphic. It is something that has to do with humans. It means like premeditated. It means like malicious. It gives the idea that something is coming to hurt me as a human.
What did you describe it as, Mike, in your write-up?
A human-hating guided missile. I've actually gotten a couple people commenting that was really funny.
I agree. But true. Like, that's what you think.
Right. When you hear that name, for sure.
Yeah. And at this time, when we're quarantined and we want to go outside, and if anyone's already afraid of stinging insects, it's just a ball rolling, a big, terrible murder ball, right? Like, they can't go outside now. The common name right now is Asian giant hornet.
Well, so Asian giant hornet has been used in the scientific literature for a while, decades, as far as I can tell. Like, this whole idea of naming it murder hornet came in English just from that New York Times article. Like, that is the first time it's ever appeared in English like that. Apparently, since about 2008, that is a name that's been used in Japanese media on occasion, but not even commonly there. They call it, it translates to like giant sparrow bee, which is an amazing common name.
I read a thing about them being called yak killers. Like, it depends, again, where you are, right? And that's why common names are so kind of crazy. Like, I mean, I call different insects or arthropods different names or common names because of where I grew up, right?
Right. I think we've talked about that on the show before with potato bug.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Just wanted to note that we are talking about Vespa mandarinia. That is the scientific name. Scientists use scientific names so everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. Common names are something that we use in our native languages to speak about it more easily because nobody wants to be spouting off Latin. Even scientists don't do that, like, in normal conversation most of the time.
So we are talking about the giant Asian hornet. That is the common, current accepted name for this insect. Whether that's the best thing or not is up for debate, I think, in the future.
Asian giant hornet.
Asian giant hornet. Yep.
Is that what I not said?
You said giant Asian hornet. Frick. See? Some other problems with it. There's another large hornet that is called either the Asian hornet or the giant hornet. It's invasive in Europe. So both of those names are already taken, and they're very close to Asian giant hornet.
I do remember reading about that in France, about the Asian hornet.
Yeah.
And when I saw the pictures, I was like, that doesn't look quite the same.
Yep. And so using just the common name can get you confused. Like, this doesn't look like the thing that I think is here.
Yeah. I mean, the first time you heard murder hornet last weekend, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
If I'm being honest, I thought about this, but that's only because I remember watching the National Geographic videos about this insect prior to all of this hoopla. And I remember talking to some high school students about it once. And I think one of them said something along the lines of, it's a killer hornet, murder hornet, something sort of similar verbiage when I described what it did to the honeybees. But it was very specific that they were there to kill the honeybees.
I didn't know what it was, so I went to the Times article and saw the photo. I was like, oh, I know what that is. I've seen it. Like, I recognized it, but I did not recognize the name murder hornet. Again, because it's the first time it's ever been used in English.
And honestly, I just thought, like, someone saw, like, a paper wasp because that's what we have flying around. But then also, I watched a bugs movie. It was a documentary on entomophagy. And there was a whole part about like hunting and finding the larvae of the Japanese hornet, the yak killer, and it's Vespa mandarinia. But it was people trying to find them to eat them.
Yeah, they're apparently a delicacy.
Yeah, like performance enhancing.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to say about common names, if you look at epidemiology, they're moving away from geographic-based names because it can result in things like racism. And we've seen that when certain politicians here tried to push calling COVID like the Asian virus or the China virus or whatever, and then people are yelling at Asian Americans or people of Asian descent, get out of our country, you brought this virus here. So Asian giant hornet, probably not a great name to try to stick with, even though it's the most widely used. I'd like to see the Entomological Society of America, which is the, I guess, the arbiter of English common names in North America, pick something else, and we just all have to consciously switch, like, yep, not calling it that, we're calling it this.
Did you see Gwen Pearson proposed Halloween hornet?
I was about to say the same thing. I like Halloween Hornet or Sparrow Hornet. I think both of those are pretty apt.
I don't like Halloween Hornet. I get where she's coming from, but I feel like it might confuse people, like they only come out at Halloween or I like Sparrow Hornet because it's a callback to the common name in Japanese, which is cool.
And it's evocative of the size.
Yeah, exactly. Although people might worry that they kill birds then. So
what about the yak killer? We have a cow killer.
It's true.
What about a yak killer?
We have yak killers. A yak killer is pretty good. That's a good one.
Regardless of what we're going to call it in the future, right now, it's on everybody's lips. Everybody's talking about the giant hornet, the Asian hornet, the yak killer, the whole shooting caboodle, the murder hornet. I'm trying not to say it because I know how much you both hate it, but that's what everybody, I mean, that's every email title I'm getting. So let's clear the air a little bit and talk about, where is this a problem currently on the North American continent?
So right now, the heaviest monitoring site and people are on alert is Washington State. They found some specimens, and they've also seen some, I guess, evidence or signs that there could be Asian giant hornets there because of what has happened to some beehives. Where they did find and eradicate a nest was actually in Canada on Vancouver Island last September. But evidently, these are not related cases. So
yeah. The Times article did mention that the hornets weren't related and that they had DNA evidence to show that, but that hasn't been published in the scientific literature or been put out by the people who did it. So, I mean, it's not verifiable. We don't know how accurate that might be. As far as we can tell right now, it's a black box. There might be one introduction. There might be multiple. The one nest we found was destroyed, but are there more? We don't know. Washington State Department of Agriculture is doing extensive surveys this summer, or has them planned at least.
Right. And the reason why they weren't able to do that back in the winter or in the fall is because stinging insect life cycle. If they found workers, then they're not the ones that are going to found new nests. So right now is the time to locate fertilized overwintered females that are starting to build nests.
Right. And I guess the last thing to say about it is they did eradicate that nest before any of the queens apparently left, which is good because that one didn't put any reproductives out.
That is good news. So currently it's concentrated in the Pacific Northwest up in the Washington State area. If you're a United States citizen, if you're in Canada, it's over in the Vancouver, British Columbia area. They are pretty geographically close. So it's very much concentrated up there. We've all gotten samples, I think, from the far-flung corners of the entire country. I know that I've gotten some from Florida, North Carolina. I think I've even gotten some from back in the Midwestern part of the country. Mike, I'm assuming, has gotten some. I know you said California was one of them. But
yeah, I got a California one today. Mostly Pennsylvania, but I've also got some from like North and South Carolina, all over the place.
Jody, how about you?
I got one from South Florida, but most of mine are in the Midwest.
So we're getting lots of questions about this. If you're not in the Pacific Northwest, it's probably not something that you need to be concerned with. If you do spot something flying around, though, there are some things that kind of look similar to the Asian giant hornet. And one of them that I've been dealing with the most is the European hornet, which is another large wasp. It's another large hornet. I would say the main difference is some coloration on the sides. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah, the pattern on the abdomen is different. European hornets have a lot more red or red-brown in the coloration, where the Asian giant hornets are mostly just black and yellow. The face is a bit different. Eyes in Asian giant hornets are more forward-facing, so they look like they're looking at you instead of looking out to the side. And their heads are yellow instead of like a reddish or red yellow in the European hornets. So if you see them side by side, it's obvious that they're different. But if you only see one of them and like you saw the Asian giant hornet on the TV last night, like it may be less obvious when you don't have them side by side.
100% agree with that. I've had the most success when I take a comparative image of both of them, like sitting next to each other on a white background, and send that to clients to convince them that they didn't find this murder hornet in their backyard.
And a lot of times people are seeing things like fly by or stop a little bit. So they're not going to see it with a white background,
right,
fully, you know, spread out, perfect face. There's a little bit of panic there.
Yeah.
But the European hornet queens are out and about right now. It is that time of year where hornet queens are going to be founding their nests. I am very curious about how many European hornet nests will occur this year, because I've seen a lot of dead royalty in my email box over the last few days. It's going to be interesting, I think. But they are big and in charge, just like the other one. And the main difference is that coloration and some dots kind of along the edge of the abdomen.
Yeah.
But are they aggressive in coming for us as well? And I just want to say, for people living in Nebraska, I have not seen any samples, and when Jonathan was here, he had no samples either.
Yeah.
So the range is very close, so I wouldn't be surprised if I were to get one, but I have not seen any European hornets.
As for aggression, I think it's the same across the board, right? If you disturb the nest, yes. If you somehow bother the insect while it's out foraging for food, or step on it or agitate it, yes, it will defend itself. But none of these are purposefully seeking out human beings with the pure intention of stabbing us with their butt daggers and injecting venom into our bloodstream. Like, this is not a behavior for them.
Yeah. So I've picked up European hornets before. Like, when they're out and about, you just let them walk on your fingers. They don't just sting you. But if they feel threatened, yeah, they will defend themselves.
Like, if you squeeze them, step on them, roll on them, swap them, more,
try to eat them,
increases the chances. Yes.
Hit their nest with a stick.
Throw rocks.
I will say Asian giant hornets also not generally aggressive, but they do get defensive around food sources. So the queens in the spring go to sap flows on trees, and they are known to be very defensive of those. They will defend that food source and sting people that walk nearby because they think the person is coming to it. And also, and maybe we'll talk about this a bit, when they raid honeybee nests, once they kill all the honeybees and are in possession of the nest, once they have occupied it, they are very defensive of that because they put a lot of time and energy and effort into getting that food source. Like, they're going to raid that and pull all the larvae and pupae out and eat them. And that is a huge source of protein for them. So they get very defensive of that food source. So if you walk by an occupied honeybee nest like 15 feet away, they may come out and sting you because they don't want you anywhere near that food.
I think that's a good transition into talking about what is the actual danger here. So Mike has already talked about it a couple times now with, if they're defending a food resource, they can be aggressive. If we've kind of hinted at with other hymenopterans, if you disturb the nest or disturb the insect directly, you could be stung. But what is it exactly that is going to happen to you, Mike, if you're stung by this insect? What is it that has everybody kind of up in arms?
They're big in they have proportionally large stingers. And I mean, they're some of the largest hornets in the world. So when they sting you, they inject a large amount of venom. It is apparently extraordinarily painful. I mean, imagine being stung by a yellow jacket and then scale that up by 4 or 5 times. They just inject a lot of venom and it hurts. There are some reports in the medical literature of the stings causing like localized necrosis and death of the skin and muscle tissue. There's apparently, I saw on Twitter, there's a group of scientists that are putting out a review of stings in this species that should come out soon. But my guess is, you know, you don't write up just a regular old sting for a publication. You write up the weird rare things. So my guess is that this necrosis is probably rare, not happening very often. But when it does happen, it gets put in the medical literature. So that probably makes it seem like it happens more often than it does. And then, of course, if you're allergic to wasps and honeybees, you're probably allergic to giant Asian hornet stings. And if you're at risk of anaphylaxis and dying from other stings, you could have the same reactions happen from these guys.
And then in terms of other threats, we have to talk about this threat to honeybee colonies. Jody, what can you tell our listeners about why that's an issue and what are these hornets going to do to our little pollinator buddies?
You know, we've come so far with having people appreciate their pollinators. And so now we're all in love with honeybees, thinking that there is going to be a hornet that's going to come in and wipe out beehives is not sitting well with people. And beekeepers, you know, they should be concerned, especially if they're on the West Coast, because in hours, these hornets can decimate a whole colony or a whole beehive. So, you know, that's a huge economic impact and an ecological one, too. Like, it's not going to be good. So what they're trying to do is find them and eradicate them so this doesn't happen.
Exactly. If people want to learn more about this issue, if they want to find some resources for it, I know that I've been directing folks to the Washington State Department of Agriculture. They seem to be leading kind of the front of this. And there's a good webinar on there that Jody and I have both watched. I don't know if you've seen it, Mike, but it was very helpful in finding some of this information, and it's well presented. They've also got a lot of cool little publications on there about size differential and comparing it to other species that you could possibly confuse with the Asian giant hornet, and just lots of really good info. So we'll include links to that in the show notes here.
The one last thing is the USDA put out, it's called New Pest Response Guidelines, Asian Giant Hornet. And it is like everything you'd ever want to know in a reasonably digestible format about Asian giant hornets in general, including how beekeepers in Asia keep their hives from being killed by the hornets. It's a really nice publication. And one of the authors, actually, I went to, we overlapped at our PhD programs. So that was a really cool thing to see. If you want something even more digestible, though, because that publication is like 30 or 40 pages long.
Right.
I wrote a fact sheet for Penn State that is 2 or 3 pages long. It's got lots of photos of Asian giant hornets as well as lookalike species, so you can compare them. I've gotten a lot of compliments about it.
It's pretty awesome.
But that seems to have been pretty popular because it's short and digestible. They can find it on the Penn State Extension website. If you just Google Asian giant hornet Penn State Extension, it should come up that way. You could also go to extension.psu.edu and search Asian giant hornet. And John, what have you done? You put out a thing.
I made a little infographic. I think some folks have probably seen it on Twitter. I've also published it on Kentucky Pest News. Me and Rick Besson, one of my coworkers, we put together just a little blurb and did a news release with the University of Kentucky on this particular situation, since we were receiving so many calls and it sounded like all of our county agents were being inundated as well. Jody, you put together a little list of these kinds of resources. We'll post some of those in the show notes if you're willing to share.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, when people panic, they Google things and then they go with what they see. And I think over this last week, we've had so many reputable entomologists that know how to communicate science and understand what people need to know, because now and I think it's important to know that a lot of the stuff that you hear about them is true, but there isn't cause for this widespread panic about them where we are. And I think of anything that good that has happened from this is that people are aware. They're citizen scientists, you know, people can contribute their what they see to science, and we can try to find this and eradicate it if it's here.
Let's be honest, this is all about the 2020 mood, right? Like, this is just, everybody saw this as the next thing that was happening this year. We understand that. We all are feeling very similarly, but you don't have to worry about tracker jackers or whatever you're comparing these to showing up at your house and stinging you. It's very unlikely that this is a widespread issue in this country, even up into Canada.
We're all being inundated with specimens right now and ID requests. If you think you've seen it, please send those in, because if the first person didn't send theirs in to the Washington State Department of Ag, we wouldn't know they're here. So I would rather deal with 1,000 European hornets and catch that one Asian giant hornet that just happens to be here than people blow it off and ignore them. So you can put photographs on iNaturalist or Bug Guide or other community science websites and get your IDs there too as well. It's often faster. The AI identifier for iNaturalist is really good for good photos of large insects, which is what people are sending in. So get your stuff ID'd.
Keep it coming. That's what we're here for. We want to see those bugs. Know that entomologists and government agencies are on top of it. and hopefully you won't ever have to worry about hearing the phrase murder hornet again. So thanks for listening. If you want more information on the show, you can find us at arthro-pod.blogspot.com. We're all on Twitter. I'm at Bugman John.
I'm at Jody Bugsby, UNL.
At mscavarla36.
We thank you for listening. Tune in here soon. We're going to release another episode in just a few days. That's going to be about our second episode on DDT. But we just wanted to get this special information out to everybody while everybody's still thinking about it. So tune in next time.
It's time for our insect heroes to put away their nets and pheromone traps. Join us next time, same bug time, same bug channel, as the Arthropod Gang make the world safe from poor insect podcasts. Until then,
keep on bugging.
Doodle-a-doo, special edition or something.